been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, straight out of Foxborough this time around, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. And I did bring the W with me. I bring out what happened, what could have been. But that's the W I brought home with us, but not the W we're looking for, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, before we get into the game, it was an upsetting loss. We'll get into that. But what was your experience like up in Foxborough? Because I've heard a lot of reports of Raven fans going up to Foxborough being treated very poorly during this past weekend. So what was your experience like?
That's an understatement. And you would expect that coming from the Pittsburgh fans. And I mean, I know we've seen YouTube and I've seen the fair share of the Pittsburgh fans being angry, but obviously that, you know, beers later and your team losing, that could add to it, obviously. Being knocked out of playoffs wasn't a great thing, especially the first game, one and done, like the Steelers were. But that being said, I'll be honest with you. I had a better experience in Pittsburgh with the fan base than I did in New England. New England is just downright nasty.
Wow.
I don't know if they're just full of brats up there. I don't care whoever's a Patriots fan listening to this. If you're excluded or included in this group, I would love to hear from you. But it was just from the onslaught. And I'm like, listen, you guys, like, I don't know what it is. And they were just obnoxious. I mean, before the game, it was fine. I mean, we're walking in. No one really said nothing to us. And even in tailgating, no one really came out. I mean, there was Patriots fans in the crowd, but they didn't really, no one was trash talking. It was when the game started. It was even pregame, I said that. But I'll go through my experience here. We got there. The place is, like, secluded. Like, it sits in just, like, the middle of nowhere. It's not, like, in the city or anything, like in Boston.
Right.
Like it is in Baltimore or anything like that, or any major city. It's just, like, I think it's, like, 40 minutes south of Boston. It's not even near the city.
Hmm.
It's off the highway off of 95. But anyway, the tailgates were great. We had a lot 52. We had all these Baltimore tailgates. I took pictures, obviously. The stadium was in within walking distance. We had a great time tailgating, food, drinks, you name it. Walking to the stadium was cool. No one really messed with me there. But here's an interesting thing, and we had some jokes. Being that they had this thing called Patriot Place outside the stadium, and if I've never been, this is a little, I mean, they have a good idea because it's secluded, so you can go there and shop and all that. We have they have a strip mall outside the stadium, like the Avenue Waymar kind of feel.
Uh-huh.
And right outside the stadium, like sits right outside, like as you're walking to the gate, it's another little strip mall. It looks like a section of like Towson Town Center or Waymar Mall, and has all these stores, like clothing stores, jewelry stores. Well, there's a Victoria's Secret sits right on the corner, in the corner right where the stadium is. Like, you're walking to a football game, and you're walking past, like, Victoria's Secret models. Like, it's really weird. Like, I felt like I wasn't going to an NFL playoff game. I felt like I was going shopping for Christmas presents. I mean, it's just so I joked, and I was just like, because obviously Brady's married to Giselle. Giselle's a Victoria's Secret model, and I was joking. I said, Brady's going to do autograph sessions at the store afterwards, huh? And I was joking about it. But it was a little weird, and I just sat there, and I took a picture of it. Didn't really post it because you couldn't really tell it was part of the stadium. It was unique. And then getting there, I mean, fans didn't really get – I mean, I wore my Raiders on the street. They were like, hey, look at this guy, and they were pointing at me. But they weren't really giving me a hard time. And we got to our seats pregame. There was a couple fans there that were nice. Like, hey, it's your first time walking around the stadium. Stadium's actually way nicer than Heinz Field, believe it or not, obviously. It was very nice, very, very well done. It looks huge when you're inside there. It looks huge. Like, I was like, wow. Like, it looked bigger than our stadium, believe it. I don't know how much it seats, but it's just the way it was laid out. And it was pretty cool to see that famous the bridge and the lighthouse structure back at the end of there. It was pretty interesting to see. I walked right past that. I've got good pictures of that, and I'm sure you've seen my Facebook post. But when the game started, it was just downright. They were as cold as the weather, if not worse. It was just, we were being relentless, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I'm like, and the guy next to me, we were fired up. We had two rows of Ravens fans in front of us. Well, like this one, and I'll share some experiences like this. And I'm observed. Like, it wasn't like no, like our Ravens fans were, like, they were turning around, like, sticking their tongues out, especially when we were out 14-0. But no one was like, our Ravens fans weren't, like, putting our fingers up and the middle finger going, F you, and you guys suck. We were just, like, we were having fun teasing them because we're 14-0. And everybody was like, what the heck's going on? And, you know, yelling at the TV, not the TV, but the game. So, obviously, they're giving, and I wasn't part of it. I just sat there and was just like, all right, we're going to do work. Let's go. Well, throwing a Brady jersey was sitting on the end of the aisle. Well, she got up to get a beer and stuff, and she like just like would do nudge the Ravens fan like abruptly, like for no reason. I'm like, that's uncalled for. I said, what a dirty rat. Like, really? I was like, she's my girlfriend. I smacked her upside the head. I mean, I know the whole Ray Rice thing, but she deserved it. She was being ignorant, and it was uncalled for. So she would have gotten smacked. If she'd have done that to me, she would have probably gotten an earful. Because it was uncalled for. There was no reason to instigate like that whatsoever. I mean, we're all humans. Calm down.
Yeah.
So, and with that, then, like, the guys behind this were, like, braiding this and they're cutting. And the Ravens fan I ended up sitting next to, it was cool. Because at the tailgate lot, we got our ticket assignment, so I didn't know where I was sitting. So the guys, like, he was sitting across from me at the bus, and we talked the whole way down. We were talking football history and the game getting wound up. And the whole bus ride, dude, the closer we got to the bus ride got to see him, we were getting wound up, man. We were playing music. We were getting rambunctious. Well, he ended up, I said, what ticket did you draw? And I drew section, I think, 318, row 14, seat 5. I had Joe Flacco's number, and he drew this seat right next to me, seat 6. So we gave it like, we were like, ah, we gave each other a high five because we were sitting right next to each other. So that was cool. And so he turns around to the guys behind us and goes, look, guys, I have not said a cuss word to you guys. I've been sitting here behaving. Yeah, I turned around and gave you guys a teasing look sometimes because I'm teasing you guys. But he goes, you guys are being immature. He goes, grow up a bit and watch the football game. Like, he was, like, saying something bad to him, and I'm like, right on. So I even asked the guy, it was funny, because I'm bundled up in thick layers. Mind you, how it was so cold, the beer froze.
Oh,
everybody
my gosh.
Was getting beer, and it was like beer slushies. The beer was freezing. It was hilarious.
Wow.
So that's how cold it was. I was warm. My hands got cold a little bit, but I had my muff. I had my hand warmers. I was good. Six layers, I was perfectly fine the whole game. Well, the guy next to me is wearing a camo jacket, Patriots, like a winter hat, and then jeans. And I'm like, you have anything on under your jeans? He goes, yeah, just a pair of thermals. I was like, I got six layers on it. I can just feel the cold. I'm like, how do you do it? He goes, I hunt for a living. I'm like, yeah, well, I used to, and says my dad, but I'm still bundled up in six layers. I was like, I look like a sissy. I'm like, I'm from Baltimore. We know the cold. And it just made the bad experience. So then, you know, before Joe Flacco threw the interception, you know that before the game, he was 13 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last five playoff games, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, well, he threw the fourth, and I'll get to my opinions about the game and all that in a second, but my experience, the fourth, he threw the fourth touchdown. So every time he threw a touchdown, I was like, 14-0. 15-0 for his touchdown to interception ratio. So when he went to four touchdowns through 17-0, I stood up and I was just like, 17-0. So the guy in front of me goes, what's so we built that? It was a blown coverage. Anybody could have made that, bro. And I was just like, buddy, how many? And this was after Brady threw the interception, obviously, because we capitalized on it. And I was just like, bro, your quarterback's sucking today, and Joe Flacco's out playing right now. He's got four touchdowns. And your guy's got what? Like two and a pick? I was like, you're sucking. I was like, tell him to start playing better. So then he's like, what's so weird about that? I said, grow up, dude. So, like, he didn't even know what I was talking about. So that was the only time I actually mouthed off to somebody. He pissed me off. Like, I was just like, you lead about that. Yeah, right. I said, you're just salty because Joe's out playing him again.
Yeah, so were they just, like, sore losers at the beginning, like you said, or are they just kind of spoiled?
I don't know. I mean, as Ravens fans, we're spoiled. And even a Patriot fan nicely said that, too. He goes, well, you guys have success, too. But I didn't say anything about being spoiled, but he was elating about each team's success. But, I mean, we are too, to a certain extent. I mean, people overreact over here in Baltimore, and we have a winning football team. I mean, the Orioles had how many losing seasons? I mean, we could be the Jets. We could be a team who doesn't have a championship. I mean, come on, we got two of them. I could say the same thing in our own fan base, but I don't know what it is. I mean, they were just expecting to win, And when we were winning by 2 touchdown leads at both times, I feel it was just a first show shot. Like, oh, we better wake back up, man, because we're going to lose this game. I think they had Brady. I think they were invincible, being the one seed, home field advantage. I think the fans thought they were invincible.
Right.
But you know how it's just a game. You know the players, you know, they shake hands. They pray after the game. You know the players have that mutual respect. The fans just take it to a top-notch extreme. You know how that goes, especially when they're drunk, dude. But other than that, and then, of course, when they tied it up both times, it started getting raunchy. But I'll tell you what, this one guy in a Gronk jersey, he came down and was congratulating us, and he was saying, bro, rooting interest aside, this is a playoff football game, man. This is great football. I said, I'll be honest with you. Win or lose, this has been one heck of a football game, man. I agree with you, bro. And when it was tied in fourth quarter, he came down to me, gave me a fist bump, and said, fourth quarter, let's get it, buddy. And he was being good about it. And I said, that's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it was like in Pittsburgh for me. It was like, hey, you guys are out playing us, smacking us around. You know, we hate your team. Y'all suck, but you guys beat us today. We suck. Like, that's what the Steelers fans were like. The Steelers fans weren't, like, you know, hitting us upside the head and throwing beers. And, I mean, I had a beer bottle again thrown at me over the railing, but I just ignore it all. But it's just, again, it's just, when will it stop? Like, there's always one in the crowd, but it was like the whole section was being rolled out. And, of course, when we lost, it was relentless. But after the game, it was just in my section, because on the way down, I talked to a lot of Patriots fans walking to the long trip to the bus, and
yeah,
a lot of Patriots fans were like, wow, that was a great game. You gave us a run for the money. Joe Flacco played great, and he goes, you guys just gave it up in the end. It was, you know, and I said, who had the ball last, made the last play, and we had it there, and I watched the replay on TV since then. I watched the highlights. It was a little different on TV. I've seen some things. But I tell you right now, the way they started was great. The way they came back, the Patriots responded, it was great. But I tell you right now, two key points in the game I really was happy on is when we capitalized on the turnover right at the end of the half, and we went up 21-14. And I'm telling you what, when Joe Flacco threw that touchdown and four set wide open, it was 20-14. I literally thought we were going to AFC title game. I thought it was over. I was like, that's a second touchdown lead. I said, we're going to take off. And this offense was moving, man. Everything was working to our advantage. But that was my experience at Foxborough. The bus ride was a long ride home, but it was, you know, I got home, you know, assessed the game. And hey, I mean, we gave them the run for the money, man. We played the best we could at the time, man. I mean, that's what I saw.
Yeah, you know, that's always my biggest concern when going to opposing stadiums is how the fans are going to treat you, and it sucks that some people can't take, you know, yes, this is serious because it is your football team, it's a game, that they can't, you know, they can't just take it and at the end of the game, you know, shake hands and say that was a good football game like that one guy did, because honest to God, like, even though I was very upset when this team lost and how I was sad that the season was over, but at that end of that game, I was like, you know what, this was a good game. I mean, they really gave the Patriots a hard time here. I mean, this was, no matter, like, even if you aren't a fan of either of these teams, you watch this and you admit that's a good game. So, like, you got to at least give the respect to the fans. I mean, even, like, I understand you not wanting opposing fans in your stadium, but I mean, for you, you drove, you know, you were on a bus. It was like almost an 8-hour trip. You got to be like, these guys are dedicated. You got to give them, you know, you get respect for that. So, I mean, it's that's always my biggest concern about going to another place. But I'm glad you got to see the Gillette Stadium, and I'm glad you got to experience that kind of game. But I wish,
right, man, it was fun.
Yeah,
and speaking of that too, it's like, yeah, I'm upset too, but like you even said, like, you know, it was a great football game. I'm telling you what, of all of our shows and covering the season, of the games we played this year, who would expect us? Did you even expect us to make it to the playoffs? I wanted
this team to make the playoffs. I wanted this team to go to the Super Bowl. But deep down in my heart, I knew that all of these injuries and everything that they've gone through was going to take their toll on this team. I always want to see them go this far. I never in a million years thought they would have made it this far.
It was a test, man. I mean, you look at Brandon, you look at the Steelers game. There were some media members saying that was our quote-unquote Super Bowl because we knocked out our division rivals. But you look at it. Three AFC North teams entered. The division champ Steelers we played. The Bengals didn't even. The Bengals are 0-4 in the last 4 years. They're 1-done, and we've won a playoff game 6 of the last 7 years. I mean, we've had success. We are the last division team standing. We're the 6th seed. We got in Barry Biscayne of our team. We had some help, and we made it to the division round. And we were 1 or 2 players from making it to the Final Four of the NFL and playing this weekend in the conference championship again. I mean, to me, that's something that's like what Joe Flacco said in the post. And I'll tell you right now, though, the locker room speech that Harbaugh Flacco gave was top-notch. But like Flacco said, and I quote, "We'll be back," like we did in 2011 when Billy Cunningham missed the kick and Ray Lewis said, "Don't hang your heads. We're going to finish it this time. They're going to go to work. They'll be back." I believe this team, with all the injuries, and we'll break this down the all season, but this team was, so many injuries estimated, they were 1 or 2 plates for making it. What do you expect with the makeshift secondary? I said, Joe Flacco threw 4 touchdowns. What more could you have done? In breaking down the game, and the season as a whole, I mean, the season was success. We were the elite final 8 of the NFL. And look what happened to the Broncos and everything else in the NFL, and even Andy Dalton. They've actually, we're breaking down this, and I want to bring this up to you, Brandon. Do you know that Peyton Manning owns 9 one-and-done playoff trips in his career? 9. Uh-huh. I mean, he went to the playoffs 9 times and didn't win a game 9 times. They one and done. Andy Dalton's 0-4, 4 in a row. Andy Dalton's number one playoff game. Peyton Manning is 9-1-1. Peyton Manning has a sub-500 record in the NFL playoffs. What's that say about Manning's legacy? I mean, he sucks in January? More than likely. I mean, yeah, they got hot at the right time and won that one Super Bowl. They could have won 2, but the Saints took care of that. But, you know, he's 1-1 in 2 Super Bowl appearances. But with that being said, Joe Flacco, there was a meme going around on Facebook. I'm sure you saw it. It goes, one and done, never heard of that. You know, I mean, you said before about Boston fans being spoiled Patriot fans, but it's like, but we have had our own successes. We've never been one and done in the playoffs. We never made it to the playoffs and never lost the first game. We've at least won one. So we've always advanced to the elite 8 of the NFL, as you just said, the final 8 standing. Right. Out of 32 teams, and we're a final 8 playing in the middle of January, I'm proud of that 6 in the last 7 years. We went to 3 AFC total games, went to the final 4, and we've had a Super Bowl and won it. Can't complain about that, brother. I can't not complain about that. We've covered it. But here's what I'm going to bring up, Brandon, and I'm sure you would agree. And looking at the season in retrospect, with the Dennis Pitta injury on the offensive side, Jimmy Smith, one of the top best corners on the defensive side, the Patriots exposed that. I mean, the offense was picked on the whole time, and I called the play of the touchdown. I said, they're going to go right after him again. And it was crazy. Bill Belichick did nothing wrong except exploit our weaknesses, and we couldn't stop it. And they kept going left, left, left. And what was telling us, Brandon, is they didn't have a run over probably 7 yards. They said their leading rusher had 7 yards total. Mm-hmm. 7. They threw the ball, and they didn't have a pass over, I think, 15 or 20 yards. We did, but I don't think the Patriots did, if I recall, breaking down the game. They were thinking and ducking, and the same thing the Chargers did. And Brandon, what it comes down to, and we sat there and watched it in Baltimore. When you have a 10-point, and there's my point of the whole season right here. When you have a 10-point lead at home against the Chargers, okay, and lose, that could have cost the playoffs. It could have. It barely did. And when you have 2, not 1, but 2 14-point leads in the same football game and have the team reeling that you're playing against, and they come back twice and then beat us by 4 points, that's a defensive issue. I don't care what you say. It's not, oh, we lost Dennis Pitta. Oh, well, this and no. It's we scored 33 points at home to the Chargers and lost by 1. And I just posted this on Facebook a little bit ago. We scored 31 points in the game against pitchers and lost. You take these games into account, we had 33-60. It's 64 total points scored and lose by a combined 5 points in 2 games. That's a defensive issue. We didn't close that. That's our secondary. Our front 7, probably one of the best in the NFL. We have Loading Nada. We have Brandon Williams. We have Terrence Cody. We have, I mean, look at the year Mosley had. Suggs had a good year in sacks. Doomerville had a Ravens franchise record in sacks. These guys are monsters. They got it done. And if we had any secondary help, this team would have been in the AFC title game. And I know everybody blames the field goal. I knew when they kicked the field goal and didn't get in on first and goal at the 9, and they kicked the field goal, I said, the Patriots are going to go down and score 7, and we're going to lose by 4. I said it under my breath. I just knew it. And breaking down the most crucial part of the game, and Brandon, did you see the video I posted on my Facebook feed about the Torrey Smith play that guy broke down?
I did see that. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's a very interesting video because it shows Joe Flacco, you know, throwing the ball downfield. Torrey Smith looks like he's about to catch it, and it becomes an interception. And the guy broke it down showing that Torrey Smith saw the ball, then saw the Patriot player, and then made no play on the ball. He was pretty much focused on the Patriot defenseman kind of going after him. See, and pushing him away, so Torrey didn't try to make make a play here and catch that ball, which to me was the entire game against the Patriots, not just this play, was very un-Torrey Smith-like because he got two penalties. He got a taunting. He got a personal foul. He made this bad play.
Almost.
Yeah. This.
We were first going on the line. We got in.
Yeah. Absolutely. But like, This was a weird game for Torrey Smith, which this possibly could be his last game as a Raven. To go out like that is so strange and so uncharacteristic of him.
Especially when he says he wants to be back here. I'm like, with that effort, I don't think so. And I knew something was up because that touchdown, where I was sitting, if you saw my seats, that touchdown and interception was right in front of us. So it was coming towards me. And I saw him, it looked like he gave up on the route. I don't know what it looked like on TV, so describe it to me, but it looked like he gave up halfway, and I stood up and go, well, I mean, we're all standing up at the final play of the game, but it was like I saw him, I'm like, and I screamed, what are you doing? And then I saw the ball pick, and I'm like, from going at it live, it looked like Joe Flacco made a bad play. I'm like, okay, you're throwing in double coverage, the safety's over top in the end zone, he had no help, he should have thrown it out of bounds. But then when I look at that video and look out online, like that guy broke down perfectly. The defender is acting like the receiver. The defender had his eyes on the ball. Torrey's back was turned like the defender should, or usually is, not should. And Torrey wasn't playing the ball. He goes up and it's a jump ball. It could have been ruled incomplete. It could have been batted down. But no, Torrey Smith was just like, oh, it's going to be overthrown, so let me charge yard. And his efforts even jam the receiver, the defender, I should say, was mediocre at best, dude. So what did it look like on TV?
What it looked like on TV, it looked like Joe Flacco didn't make that play. It looked like he just lobbed it downfield hoping for the best or hoping for a flag, and it turned into an interception. It did not look like it was a Torrey Smith, Torrey Smith was at fault. It looked like it was all Joe making a mistake. But looking back at it on that replay, you can see Torrey Smith kind of give up on it, which is, it's unsettling.
and here's a retrospect. I wanted to break down this play. You know, the whole game was great. I mean, we knew how the game flowed. I wanted to really spend time on this play because, obviously, it ended our season, and it puts a bad taste from after the offseason. But here's the thing. The whole time walking out, I kept arguing with fans, especially in the buses, why go for the jugular with a minute 46 when you know the Patriots could have just watched right up and down the field with one timeout? You get Tom Brady that much time, it's just like playing the Steelers and anybody else. You know what's going to happen. They're going to at least tie the game at 38 and going into overtime, or they're going to win the game. And when I saw that play, I said, why do it with a minute 46? And I thought we were going to win the game. And we'll rewind this a little bit. When they converted that 4th-and-3 to Owen Daniels, I thought we were going to win the game. I knew. I was like, this is it. We're going to win. As soon as that happened, I was like, here we go. Especially when they started all the way inside their 10-yard line, led him all the way back there, and he wings the ball in the end zone. I thought it was a bad call. In retrospect, I eat my words. And if you heard, and I don't know if you listen to this, when you hear Joe Flacco defending the play, it's the same aggressiveness that got us there.
Uh-huh.
This offense has been always scrutinized for being passive. We don't take shots. We don't do this. And, I mean, Brett Favre made a career about it. I mean, other teams make a living out of it. You do or die. And Cartoon, Coach Harbaugh always said this: you're gonna scrutinize the play if it worked, and you're gonna scrutinize if it didn't. Because if it worked, we would have won the game, or at least depending on the outcome, we could have won the game. If it didn't work, then obviously you're gonna scrutinize that all summer long. That happens in every play. It's a 50-50 shot. Throws it up, Torrey's either gonna catch it for a touchdown or he's not. It ended up being a pick, which is the worst case scenario, so incomplete because it ended the game. But with that being said, I thought they could have utilizing more because they were methodical with the wave going down the field. I think we had at the time one timeout in our pocket as well. Minute 46 being 40 yards out, we had an eternity. I mean, give it the 4th-10 run, you know, maybe do a screen pass, maybe to Crockett Gilmore, maybe to Owen Daniels, maybe get them involved, maybe use the sticks. I mean, maybe they could have gotten closer. I don't know who's to say, but I think Joe Flacco made a read. He saw one-on-one coverage, except the safety came over top and ended up being a bad play. But again, do you fault Joe Flacco for that? I don't think for one second, because the dude played 4 touchdowns. He played his butt off. I don't care what you say. It's not on Joe Flacco's fault. Again, defense. We could not get him off on 3rd down, crucial. We couldn't stop them on the left side of the ball. And then Melvin got beat for, 200-something yards receiving and a touchdown, I think, 2. Melvin just got flat-out beat, and it just was part of the game, our secondary. That's what lost us the game. That's why I said going back in the beginning of the show, 2 touchdowns, 2 14-point leads and then a 10-point lead at home against the Chargers. That's a defensive issue. It's our secondary. It has not nothing to do with Flacco throwing a pick because Brady threw a pick. It's just Flacco was making a play to win the game, and it didn't work out for us. Oh, well. But I love that 10 times out of 10. I agree with it. Like, looking back in retrospect, I agree. What do you think?
Yeah, having Joe Flacco do that, I think that was the best play at that time. I want to talk to you about this game, like you were bringing up, like what was the cause of this loss and everything. This game was insane due to the fact that the beginning of it, I mean, the Ravens just came out and they like annihilated the Patriots. Like the bar I was in, again, I was at the Green Turtle on McHenry Row.
How was that, by the way? How was the environment?
Well, you know what? The thing about that is they closed down for 2 to 3 days before the game because they cut the place in half. They put up a wall and they're putting in a new restaurant. So now the place down there is literally the bar and maybe like six tables. And no one knew this. So like the manager comes out and people are showing up. This shows you how stupid some people are. They're showing up to watch the game like 15 minutes after the game started. So like the manager is trying to find a place to put these people because now they have, you know, half the room they did before. So like I will say the place was packed, but I also was worrying the entire time if something was going to get spilled on me because like the waiters had nowhere to go except like hold all the food.
Oh my god, that sounds like a cluster and a half.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided, hey, let's remodel at this point and while the Ravens are still in the playoffs, but I might not be going there anymore. I'll just put it that way because I love the Green Turtle. I love McHenry Row, but for watching a game, they definitely need to work out some kinks there. But just the place was going nuts. When Brady threw that interception, people were celebrating as if they already won the game. I mean, when he was, if you watch the live game, you know, he's got his head in his hands because in his mind.
I didn't see that. I saw pictures afterwards, but I didn't see it, obviously.
Yeah. He's sitting there and he's like, he's literally thinking like, I just lost the game for us. You know, this is all going to be on me. I can't believe I did that. So people were like paying their checks and leaving at that point because they thought it was all over. But like the Patriots came back, they threw that one trick play. I think that threw everybody off. I feel as if
it threw me off because I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they
got to be ready for everything, like the Patriots said.
Yeah, the Patriots, they like to bend the rules as much as they can. They go to that brink of breaking the rules, and then they try not to break them, but so get away with what they can. But, like, they knew that they couldn't compete with, you know, Terrell Suggs, Ellis Dumervil, Nada, Mosley, all those guys, Pernell McPhee, going after Brady. So, I mean, they made an adjustment, and they knew Brady get the ball out of his hands quick and then lob it down the field because they can take care of our secondary.
It was like hot potato. It was like, let's get the ball quick. And I even said that in the car ride. Remember the brief one, and you could probably bring up the show and archive it. Remember how I said, why didn't we get to Andy Dalton in week one in the season opener? Because he was like, as soon as he got the ball, he got out. We didn't even get a hand on him because the ball wasn't even in his hands too soon. They were countering our blitzing with quick passes. And again, love him or hate him, they schemed against us to beat us. And like I said, we were out-coached. It's Belichick. You know, we had Belichick's number, as I covered in the beginning. Oh, we beat him in the title game, and we had him in the regular season the year after. But it was just, Belichick was just like, after that first quarter, it was like, they moved the ball well as we did, and it was the track meet. It was, he who has the ball last will win this game. And unfortunately, we made the second biggest mistake in the game, and it cost us the game. But you're right. That trick play, I thought it was going to be a screen pass to Edelman, and all of a sudden he lobs it over, and I saw that, and that same play happened on our same side of the field, and I was just like, wow. Like, they ain't no way. They're going to, and I just knew it was going to be the Patriots. Day after that, I said, they're going to start. This is going to be a dogfight till the end, man.
Yeah, and that's what has plagued this team the entire season. You know, the Patriots showed everybody what the weaknesses were of this team. This team was a strong team. I mean, we saw that against the against the Steelers last week. We saw what this team could do. We saw what this team could do with, you know, all of these. You know, this team brought together with Band-Aids because there were so many injuries and there was so much going on. But the Patriots showed all of our weaknesses. I mean, they knew that we were strong pressuring Brady, so they got rid of that ball quick, and they picked on the secondary because they could. Our secondary was not good this entire season. Everybody knows that. The Ravens knew that. I mean, look how many guys had to go on injuries reserve that was in the secondary. So, I mean, they knew that. They picked on it, and they were able to get it done. You look at the first first half, Justin Forsett running all over the place. I mean, he was, Juszczyk was making holes and Forsett was running. I mean, just a great job by Forsett. But after the second, or after halftime into the second half, they were able to shut Forsett down and they were able to make Joe throw the ball. And make,
adjustments, man.
Yeah, and that's always been my thing. I've said this time and time. I feel like a broken record. The Ravens, the offensive coordinator, this is, I'm going to get like, you know, I'm going to be put on fire for this, but everybody's so happy. Gary Kubiak, up until the Denver news came out about them firing their coach, he said that he was staying with the Ravens, and everyone said, oh, that's so great. I'm so excited. I was not excited to hear that because he doesn't make adjustments. He doesn't switch the game up. When the second half happens, like I kind of look at it like two mini football games. You have the first half where you know what to do. They go into halftime. The opposing team makes adjustments. The Ravens don't. I hate that about Kubiak.
Did we say that earlier in the season or later, like in a few shows ago, where the Ravens don't change the cadence of anything? They just keep doing as normal, and then hopefully it fixes?
Yeah, that's exactly.
I've said that.
Yeah. We've said that many, many times, and Kubiak is, that was a thing. Forsett was running well in the first half. The Patriots figured it out during halftime. They were able to shut him down, and they didn't know what to do with him in the second half. That's always been my gripe with this offensive coordinator, is that he doesn't change it up, and he didn't. He didn't, and a lot of guys lost their composure. A lot of people made stupid penalties. I mean, we already talked about Torrey Smith with his taunting and with the personal foul that he had, which, why are you choosing to have a sack now? Like you're always so, like, cool, calm, and collective. Like, you're not a bully. Don't be a bully right in that game. Come on, what are you thinking? And then even...
You're not a Dez Bryant. Get back to the huddle.
Yeah, even Harbaugh got a flag for this play. Like,
yeah.
Everybody yeah. lost their composure. I feel as if that trick play just freaked out the entire staff and the entire team, that they honestly didn't know how to defend against that and how to counter that, because they're not making adjustments and people just lost their cool. And that's what I think lost this game. It was the fact that the Patriots came out with these new plays and this new stuff, and the Ravens literally didn't know how to handle that.
Right. I equate that to, you know, again, maybe it was, I wouldn't know if it was swagger or if it was ego or, oh, we were up two touchdown leads, we got this. And it was like, I think the Ravens could have been shell-shocked is a good word for it. It was like, because I was, I mean, the thing I know is 20-14 and it's tied up at 28, excuse me. And I'm like, all right, tied up at 28 in the fourth quarter. Here we go. And then what happened in the fourth quarter? We scored 3, they scored 7, there's the ball game. Easy. I mean, yeah, if we scored a touchdown there and we could have been tied, who knows? But what happens is, you know, even if we scored 3 there, our defense didn't stop them. You know, like I was talking to my dad coming back home, and when we got back home, breaking down the game, because I was like, well, man, I equate that to not scoring a touchdown there, because if they score a touchdown there, it's 35-28, and then they got to score a touchdown at a tie. Now I knew they were going to beat, and then we have to go back and score. And I was acting crazy, but my dad goes, hey, there's a defensive side of football that didn't stop them. They let the Patriots go down the field and score that touchdown. I'm like, you're right. So, and I can agree and bring this to the show too. But that being said, is it's not just the offense. The offense shouldn't have to put up 50 points because our defense sucks. It's, hey, there is a defensive side of football. They got to go stop them. And the defense did not get it done. They barely touched Brady all night, whether it was pass rush or Brady getting it out quick. And you're right. They made adjustments. So, again, we got out coached a little bit. I was proud enough the fact that Joe Flacco had a great game. They threw 4 touchdowns, and they were within 2 minutes of winning the game. So they pushed the Patriots to the brink. They gave them run for the money. The Patriots didn't blow us out, and we showed them we weren't scared, and we weren't. You know, at the start of the game, I was like, are you kidding me? 14-0? Wow. And everybody was getting chippy, obviously, being a Patriots fan. So we didn't know what hit them, and it was a great game to be at, and it was a fortunate way to end the season. But with the conference championships looming, we could have went to Indianapolis. It would have been fun to see. But obviously, Peyton Manning being out, it was the Colts surprise. And it's now stands as Colts-Patriots and Seattle and Green Bay. And everybody's talking about, how about this controversial catch in the Cowboys, man?
Man.
How about karma coming back? And wasn't that great? Because obviously we already know the pass interference that was and wasn't. And it should have been pass interference. The Lions should have been in the next round, and who knows what could have happened,
because
that would have shuffled the matchups, because the Panthers would not have played Seattle. It would have been the Lions. And who knows? But it's NLB all. But how about the whole Dez Bryant catch? The Cowboys are driving, could have been first and goal inside the 1 for the game potential winner, And then I was being called back. And then and boy, did my Twitter feed blow up. That was a controversial place. So, and we'll get to that in a minute. I just want to hear your thoughts on that, because I have my opinion. But it sets up a great matchup of a Seahawks, defending Super Bowl champs, number one seed at home, sending home for another second straight NFC title game against the Green Bay Packers. What a game will that be? And I have to get your thoughts on that, Dez Bryant catch. What did you think, man?
Before I even get into that catch, let me talk about I just being a human being, seeing Dez Bryant after that play and when the play is reversed, seeing him screaming to the refs where he looks like he's about to cry, I felt so bad for that guy. Like, I mean, I know it's football and you're supposed to be manly and everything, but he looks so hurt. He's like a little kid who, like, got, like, somebody popped his balloon. I felt so bad for him. I'm like, it's okay, man. It's okay. It was a catch. I bet you it was a catch. It's all right, buddy. But, like, man, I thought it was a catch, and I thought that he definitely didn't have control after he kind of hit the ground. I think, like, it was a catch. Once he hit the ground, it should have, you know, been at, like, the one-yard line or something like that, and not a touchdown. But, you know, that's been a very controversial call. I think it was a legal catch, but as far as, like, rolling into the end zone, I don't see that. I didn't see it as a touchdown.
I saw it as a catch too, Brandon. I agree, because, like, with what I was seeing, and everybody was like, oh, the process of catching the ground, the rule is just a mess. Needs to be changed. But what I think it is what Dez Bryant did. He had 1, 2, and 3, if you watch replay, at 3. Then he made a move to lunge to the end zone, and that's when the ball jarred loose. And my dad said, and he made up a good point, is you equate this to a running back running the football and then stretching to the goal line at the goal line. What happens is when the ball is down by contact, it's ruled down by contact. It's not a fumble. It's not because you have control of the football. It's not like, your running play is different than a pass play, but he had control up until that point. Now, I can understand, Brandon, if he caught the ball, planted both feet down, and then, like fell forward in all one move, and it fell forward, then yeah, because he didn't really make a football move, but he took 3 steps, which is technically 2.5 to 3 yards. So I think where he caught it was at 3. If you notice, he lunged to the end zone at the 1. So, yeah, I actually think, you know, with the Packers fans out there who may listen to the show, I'm not sure, but I agree with the Cowboy fans there. Football perspective, it was a catch, but we'll see what happens in the offseason if the rules get interpreted any differently. If it would have happened to us, we would have felt the same way, whether it be for the Patriots or the Ravens. But it was a catch, but it does set up for some good football. And I have to say, what are your picks this weekend, man?
I believe the Patriots and the Seahawks are going to be the winners this weekend. I think it's going to be the number one seed versus the number one seed in the Super Bowl. But I think the Patriots at this point, they're just a better team. I like Andrew Luck a lot, but I don't see him being able to beat Brady and the coaching staff of the Patriots. A lot of people, you know, say they're cheaters and everything like that, but I can see the Patriots playing a full game like they did against the Ravens. I feel as if that they're going to be able to make adjustments when needed against this Colts team, because they are a young team. They are a little bit quicker than the Patriots, but I feel as if the Patriots are able to get everything done. As far as the other side, the Seahawks, man, they're just a force to be reckoned with. I mean, the fact that they've gotten this far after winning just a Super Bowl just last year, huge. I mean, you gotta give it to them for the sheer fact that they've been to the big game before, they've been to the big dance, and they know how to play postseason football.
You do, man, and I'm very impressed with all 4G's ready, you know, with Andrew Luck, beating his old Colts predecessor in Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning looked far as he could throw the ball, and then now comes out he had a torn or strained quadriceps. I don't know what it was.
Let me just say this too, real quick. You were saying, no one could believe that Peyton Manning lost to Indy and lost to Andrew Luck. I called that in my office pool, actually. I thought it was going to be Colts and
good.
And
yeah, you're smart. You know that.
And Broncos. And I was like, you know what? Andrew Luck and the Colts, I think they'll be able to take out Peyton Manning. Because just like we have January Joe, you know, January Peyton, he's a guy that likes to, you know, be in front of the fireplace with some slippers on. He don't like the cold. So if they're playing in Denver, and it's in the winter, I'm never going to pick Peyton Manning. That dude cannot play in the cold.
It's weird. It's 14 years playing in that stupid dome, which being dome should be, football should not be playing domes, but that's another story for another rainy day. My picks, speaking of office pools, I kind of, and I said this as a season preview when the Packers beat the Patriots earlier in the year. I said that was going to be a Super Bowl matchup, and the Packers and Patriots are in their conference championships, respectively. I did have originally the Packers and Patriots making the Super Bowl, and I had the Packers winning it all in Title Town up there in Lombardi. But with that being said, I'm really pulling for the Seahawks. I like to see the Hawks. I love Marshawn Lynch. He's one of my favorite players. They had the Legion of Boom. I like Richard Sherman and what they do on defense. I think ultimately defense wins championships, and I think they're going to give Aaron Rodgers fits. And I think the Seahawks can do something unprecedented. They're going to beat Aaron Rodgers on Sunday, and they're going to beat Tom Brady in Super Bowl. And I think we're going to see another repeat since the said Patriots of the mid-2000s. And I think the Seahawks are going to repeat his chance, which it'll be great to see. I really like to see that happening. So I am rooting for a Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, and I like to see the Seahawks do and take down both quarterbacks. But you're right. I do like Tom Brady's great, too. He's one of the great quarterbacks you've ever seen in the game. I love Andrew Luck. I mean, you can't go wrong. Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, who can love A-Rod? Tom Brady, love to hate him. But Tom Brady's one of the greatest of all time. And Andrew Luck, who doesn't like Andrew Luck? So any of these four teams, I wouldn't mind seeing hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Any of these quarterbacks, any of these coaches. Chuck Pagano got a pull for. And how about this as a backstory? I'd rather make it a hoopla of this, but personally, I do not mind it being that it's Chuck Pagano. Being that we have a former Raven and Art Jones and some former Ravens on the Colts, but how about Ray Lewis giving a pregame speech to the Colts the past game, and then everybody was saying, hey, is there any secret to that success that now they're in the conference championship, they're playing Tom Brady and the Patriots, maybe that'll carry him over. But who knows? I mean, everybody's making a big stink out of that. I mean, Ray Lewis, we already know his heart here. I mean, he has a statue outside our stadium. He's 52 forever. He's got 2 titles. I mean, we already know. He can speak. I mean, he's spoken to Miami Hurricanes games. He's spoken to other schools, other basketball teams. I mean, yo, because it's the Indianapolis Colts, you're going to weenie whine about it. I don't have a problem with it. You know, raise the pile from a guy and his speeches go. And I don't have any problem with that, bro. So, but it was kind of funny as a backstory to see them ignited. And now they're in the title game against the Patriots. So,
I wonder if Peyton Manning was just like at halftime or something like, wow, I don't know what got into these Indies, these Colts, man. Did Ray Lewis talk to them or something? Like, I'm wondering if he's feeling it again from 2 years ago when the Ravens were up in Denver. Maybe that's what it is. He just feels that Ray power on him.
Well, he remembers. Of course, he remembers the Mahi Miracle. It was a great, incredible game, one of the other greatest playoff games we've ever seen. But it's going to be some good championship football this Sunday. I can't wait to see who plays in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks coming ahead. And speaking of that, there's a Pro Bowl to be played between there. And how about the Ravens coaching staff getting the invite to coach in that?
Yeah, the Ravens will be one of the coaching staffs of the Pro Bowl. That's pretty cool. Something that I don't think John Harbaugh has done before. But also, we got to bring this up too. Justin Forsett was named to the Pro Bowl officially this week as well. Congrats to him. Somebody got hurt. I believe it was one of the
Houston.
Exactly. And so Justin Forsett will be taking his place. So you got to say congrats to him and congrats to the Ravens coaching staff. I heard that it was supposed to be a couple others, but so many coaches have been fired that they invited the Ravens to be a part of it. So,
well, there's been some hirings. I know some folks have fired, but how about Rex Ryan up in Buffalo?
Yeah, I was a little surprised about that, but good for Rex Ryan. He said he's going to bring the Buffalo Bills into the playoffs again. So, we'll see what happens there.
He's going to bring some nasty, is what I heard. So we'll see how Rexy gets it up there in good old Buffalo, New York, and stays in the AFC East. So it's always going to be entertaining because he gets to play the Jets twice, his former employer, and he gets to play the Patriots again twice a year. So it's never a dull moment in AFC East beyond that. But it's going to be some great football. It sucks that the Ravens had to end it, but you're right. Coaching staff gets coached in the Pro Bowl. Kubiak staying. I know you're saying you're against that personally, but despite rumors of him going to Denver with his ties there, you know, he's staying at the helm. A lot of people are excited, and I think year two is going to be excited. I heard some early news that Dennis Pitta and John Harbaugh are going to see a specialist about his hip, if he's going to be make a full recovery. I know Jimmy Smith will be back. We just need to get healthy, have some peace in the draft, and obviously, you know, going on the combine and call, we'll be covering some prospects to see who they're even going to look at, and then covering the draft in a few months here and after the Super Bowl. And then we're going to do a special treat for our listeners. We're going to do a pre-Super Bowl. So obviously after the conference championships wind down, And we're going to do Super Bowl week. We're going to do a mini show, the call, just previewing the Super Bowl matchup and seeing who was right in their picks and who was wrong, and see how Super Bowl 49 plays out this year. And it's going to be great in Arizona. I can't wait to get after it. And it sucks that the Ravens aren't in the mix, but you have to give a round of applause to our boys. They played tough. They played hard. Who'd have thought at the up and downs we would have been 10-6 as a 10 seed, and another great winning record, and Joe Flacco again with another road win. We just added to the legend, and again we were so close, but we'll be back, as Joe Flacco said. So with that being said, it's been a great year, man. It's been another great year, year three at the call, man. Appreciate all the listeners who have made this possible and sharing the call, and I've seen some tweets come in with our listeners and the Facebook page and sharing. I appreciate all the support, and we're going to make year four even stronger, and go for it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the Ravens season ending, I also want to throw this out there as well. The Ravens organization, as far as their play and everything, they really don't have anything to be ashamed about. I mean, with all the stuff that was stacked up against them, I mean, to start...
Right. And they had years starting. Ray Rice and everything, yeah, man.
To start the season off with the Ray Rice situation, with all the controversy off the field, for them to be able to focus throughout that second week and beat the Steelers the way they did. It shows you how they're able to keep, you know, the mindset on the field. To lose Dennis Pitta the way that they did, to lose Jimmy Smith. I mean, I brought it up in the show earlier. 18 guys on injury reserve.
18.
That was, if you put all three teams in the AFC North, they had 17 guys combined, and we had 18 on our own. I mean, to get this far into the postseason, even if it was just, you know, to get into the postseason, into the playoffs, whatever. I mean, this team, they showed that they got grit and they can get this far, and they showed that they can win games. But in the end, you know, all that stuff that they had to fight through really just wore on them, and the Patriots knew that. So they have nothing to be ashamed about. They have nothing to be, you know, worried about, I guess, in their own personal lives, because they did. Everybody on that team did a great job, and everybody worked really hard. I mean, this season, if there's one guy to sum up this type of season, Justin Forsett, a guy who came in at, I mean, NFL level money, pretty low on the totem pole, to come out and kind of be the number one guy for Joe Flacco to work with. I mean, just amazing that he was able to do that. Come from behind, underdog type of person, fits in great with this team. So it may have been quote unquote a playoff losing season, but nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to be angry about. The Ravens did the absolute best they could. Nobody gave up this year, and that was something.
Not at all, man. I mean, you're right. There's nothing to hang our hats on. Again, we're proud. I mean, since the last 7 years, we won a playoff game. 10-5 playoff record, Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh. I mean, guys, I mean, we knocked off the Steelers for playoff in Pittsburgh. I was there to see it. How great was that, the division champs? We outlasted the whole AFC North, and the Bengals even lost. So you can't really hang out your heads with the Elite Eight in the NFL again, divisional round of playoffs. We're successful year in, year out. We were one game away from winning it last year, two years ago, so we could have had 7 straight years in the playoffs, but wasn't for one more loss. We didn't get it done in Cincinnati in the last game of the year. They don't come back on us. But that being said, we've had some great years, and we haven't finished less than 8-8 since 2007. So with a 6-10 record in that year before Jeff Flacco and everybody came, and with the Ray Rice, I don't know how the year started with the injuries. You're right, Brandon. 18 IR. We made it this far. Can't wait to see when we have a full healthy squad and the pieces to add in the draft, and we'll keep our targets on our teams hush hush till then. And speaking of that, ending with the races, I can't wait to see where Ray Rice lands next year, even if he does pick up an NFL team. And we're going to see a lot of coaching new faces, and some new players being around, and there's contemplating retirements everywhere. So we'll see how the NFL looks next year, and we'll be back in the AFC North, and if we get a chance at a divisional crown, and see what we can get after it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for personal sakes here, the call, something that I talked about last week, something I absolutely love to do. I love that I get to call you up once a week, talk football for an hour or so or whatever. But this season, we've definitely got a lot more ears than we've had in the past. So thanks to everybody for giving us even, you know, the time to whatever you're doing throughout the week, that you kind of invite us into your own head and listen to us talk about this. But I just want to say, Josh, I'm so proud of what we do on this show. I go back and I listen to past shows. I'm so proud of how we handled the Ray Rice situation, because I feel as if, like, at that time, the media was putting a giant spotlight on the Ravens and the NFL, going like, and shaking their fingers like, you should do this and you should do that, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I think everyone has kind of learned from that situation of like what to do when someone's going through that. But you and I were able to talk about it as Raven fans, as Ray Rice fans, and talk about the fact that this went past football. And I like the fact that like neither of us had an agenda, and we were able to just kind of voice what we were feeling. You know, this podcast was an amazing thing through that situation, because like you can talk about it with people at work and everything, but you and I, we were just kind of talking like, we saw the video. We didn't like what we saw in the video. We understood why the Ravens, why the NFL did what they did. But we also hope that, you know, the Rice family was able to get through it and get the help that they needed. And I'm personally very proud of that episode, of what we were able to do that week. Because I feel as if people were listening to us and they realized we're fans just like they are fans, we're feeling the same thing they're feeling about this whole situation. It was just something – this was a great avenue, I guess, to kind of voice – what we were feeling about that.
Absolutely was, man, and being blunt and honest about it and being forthright and not really putting the blame anywhere or where it was due, and really taking the situation aside. And we never went through it before that magnitude. It was a national story. I mean, it was not only on ESPN, but it was on the national news, it was Fox News, CNN, it was everywhere. So we had to deal with it. We had to deal with the scrutiny of all Ray Rice and the whole jersey exchange, you know. We had to deal with that, and to come through that not only as a fan base, but personally get to talk about it and where we come as a team, and being that the lead NFL, you're right, the way it started and the way the front office was doing, and being the Ravens are a first-class organization. But look, we still are. I mean, we drafted C.D. Mosley, and look at the year he's had. I mean, we've been through countless injuries, and Joe Flacco has always been screwed on it, but he just continues to prove people wrong and win and perform at a high level. How about Justin Forsett? You know, getting a fresh start at a career, and how Ray Rice exited, and how we were looked at the running game, and we were even in the pre-shows of the preseason, we were like, how's this running game going to look? And then Forsett sets up, and then it's an absolute monster, over 1,000 yards rushing,
right.
And now he's all turned into Pro Bowl, and he might get a big contract now, and he wants to be a long-term the Ravens. He said he loves it here, and I think he'll fit in great with what we are doing on offense, and I think he'll be our new running back, and I see a lot of Forsett jerseys in the future in Baltimore to come, And I love the addition of Steve Smith. His fire attitude. I mean, at the end of the game, he was, being seen sparring with a local media member at Boston. And his fire, I mean, his passion. And he had that bad taste in his mouth. He wanted this so bad. And I think everybody's just going to work that much harder and be back next year, depending on what faces come and what familiar faces go. And just have to applaud Ozzie for drafting Mosley and for drafting Jernigan and Terrence Brooks and anybody that's helped us this year. And I can't wait to see the guys that come back. Brent Urban was hurt all year. I can't wait to see these guys come back next year, and Pitta and Jimmy Smith, and really do a good job for our football team and our pyramids, see where we're headed. And like I've always said, I love the season, but the offseason is that much better because we get to see our team do its real work, and Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome build this team in the nucleus and build it from the ground up. And hey, can't wait to see what next Pro Bowl or future Hall of Famer we draft, because right now Moses is on track, and he's on track to do some great things, and I can see what happens too with DJ and the rest of them, and it's just great. And I don't know if the athletes haven't come out yet for defensive player of the year. I heard early people that talk about it. He got snubbed. I don't know if anybody's won it yet. I haven't. So they don't think they released that as of yet, the NFL MVP and all that. So like I said, if he gets it, great, but I know he'll get Rookie of the Year defensive. At least he should. But he's just had a tremendous year, and if he doesn't from the league, we know personally he's had an incredible year.
Yeah, so this has been just an amazing season so far. A little shorter than we would have liked, but this is where we get to the next season already starts for us. So we get to kind of experience all of that too. So have we covered anything? Did we miss anything in this show?
I think with this year, I think we can just finally put a curtain on it and say, not a chance, man, not a chance.
All right, if you guys want to continue the conversation about football, about the Ravens with Josh or I, of course you can tweet to both of us. I am on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet me at GiantGQ52.
All right, very cool. So make sure you go over to BrandoCash.com, get information about the call and all the other podcasts we do from Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know, and we will continue doing that with the call and What the Puck, whatever else we decide to put out this next year. We're not going far, so make sure you guys continually support us. Make sure you tell people about us. Make sure you continue to tell people that you're a Ravens fan, even though it's the off season, that you listen to the call, and everyone else should too. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Let people know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I wear my purple on Friday, even if it's the off season, and you should listen to the call because I do too, and it's free. How cool is that? So that is pretty much it for the call this week. We won't be going far, guys. Make sure you stick to the Facebook and or Twitter accounts to know when a new episode of the call comes out. We're going to try to do them maybe monthly or so once the Super Bowl gets done, but we do have the combine and the draft and all other kinds of good stuff coming up in the off season. So stick with us throughout that. So Josh, even though this might be a week or two away, the Super Bowl, whatever, the Ravens season, off season starts now. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much for a great season. All of our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, curtain has to come to a close on this great season of the Ravens. Gonna hang our heads in defeat, but we can't. We gotta be proud of our boys. It's been a great year, and like Joe Flacco said, we'll be back. Sounds like the Terminator, but I'm telling you what, we're gonna terminate some competition next year in 2015. We've seen the opponents on the schedule. I can't wait to see how it stacks up in April, headed to the draft. I really can't wait to get after it. We know the offseason we're gonna, you know, rebirth our team and get refreshed and renewed, and really can't wait to see what comes of it. With that being said, it's been a great year to call. Go Ravens in the offseason. Can't wait to look forward to it all. And we're going to fly high this off season and get back to it.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.